So Lord, we just thank you for this day, for this season, for this time that you have placed us in to lead your church and to see people grow into your image. And Lord, I pray tonight as we discuss some of the practical details of what church can look like from house to house. Lord, I pray you just guide us, lead us, give us insight, give us wisdom, give us peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So I do want to thank you all for coming tonight to be part of this conversation. We've got a bunch of people who weren't able to make it tonight. And so I do want to thank those. They are watching, or they will be watching on the recording. So thank you for the time you're putting aside to listen to this or to watch this. So the journey so far, Nehemiah chapter 1. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. In the late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had arrived from Jerusalem. I asked them about the Jews who had returned from there, from captivity, and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, is what Nehemiah says, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. And so what I want to start with is just as an eldership, this is where we started at our elders' retreat. We journeyed through Nehemiah, and what we discovered is that Nehemiah was given a report, and he didn't just pray about it. Sometimes I'll just pray about it. He prayed, but he did something about it. In the end, if you're encouraged to read the story, he went to Jerusalem, and he does a survey of the walls of the city. And as he looked around the walls of the city, they saw some walls were crumbling, some were destroyed, some were full of rubble, and he couldn't get through the gates. And so he had a good look around the city, and then he saw some foundations to get repaired. But the need was clear for him. He looked at the city of Jerusalem and said, something needs to get done. And so without walls and gates to the city, the people were left in a vulnerable place. Without the walls and the gates of the city, they were open to attack of the enemy or wild animals. So he summons the people together, and in Nehemiah 2 verse 17, I said to them, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." And this is where we find ourselves today. As an eldership, we really feel the greatest risk to our church community, the walls of our church community, the greatest risk to our families is what we value so much, which is our community. If you were to ask anyone what they love about our church, they would say, "I just love the community. I love the feel." And it's hard to quantify that into a spiritual dynamic, but there's something that COVID has affected that has really challenged the fabric of our church community. And so we as an eldership feel this is the wall we need to rebuild, the wall of community. And we feel God has given us a strategy to do this. And it's not a new strategy, and it's different. It's different to what we did pre-COVID. It's different to what we've been doing in the midst of COVID. And we believe the strategy God's given us will strengthen and position our church for post-COVID. Now, post-COVID, we don't know what that looks like. We don't know how quick. I know in Western Australia, they can have they've got a 2-meter rule in place, which means you could double the number of people that we can currently fit in our building. And so the strategy God's given us, I think it'll help us where we're at now and where we're going. And so the journey ahead, twofold strategy, and based on the book of Acts, the early church, I want to just read the scripture and then we'll move into a bit of a more of a conversation. This is really important to us. There's a twofold strategy, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So as we read the account of the early church in the book of Acts, we see two distinct gatherings. What were they? Who can tell me? It's in your notes. They met in the temple and house to house. That's the early church They met in the temple, they gathered in the temple, and they gathered house to house. Now, we're probably most familiar with the temple. In our context, we're most familiar with our gatherings when we all come together. Great time for connection, great time for celebration, great time for corporate worship, great time for our kids to be involved and the older generations to be mixing with the. We love the temple, and that's what we're mostly familiar with. But the hard reality is, and I've seen this over 20 years in full-time ministry, I've seen that the temple service alone is not enough to grow people. Just coming along to a Sunday service, the best you got is 40 minutes staring at the back of someone's head. You've got 10 or 15 minutes over a cup of coffee, and you've got belting some songs out, you know. And we, whilst we love that, in itself, it doesn't grow people. It encourages, inspires. I think it's a key part of what we want to do. But the temple doesn't grow people, doesn't disciple people. In itself, it doesn't help people become like Jesus. And so, as I said, pre-COVID, it was 20 minutes of singing. It was 30, 40 minutes looking at, you know, someone's head, and then we move on. But what I've discovered, and I'm sure many of you know this, and I know many of you are part of some really vibrant small groups, and you've been part of a vibrant small group sometime in your Christian walk. But you ask anyone, the greatest place of growth occurs from house to house. That's where you learn together. That's where you pray together. That's where you share together. That's where you eat together. That's where you study God's word together. That's where you do life together. And that's where iron sharpens iron. That's where we learn to be like Jesus to one another, but also his love and us to the community out there. And I think this is what COVID certainly highlighted to us. And this is what's lacking. And that's the thing we want to do something about. You know, we know we can do temple. And when the right time is for that, we'll talk about that. We'll do temple. But I think what we really, and this is why we're here tonight and watching on the recording, is that we are interested in how, at least in the conversation, how is our church going to grow house-to-house groups, and we're calling them satellite groups. So we're one church. We are Hunter Christian Church. We are gathering, or we're meeting remotely. Different times, different days. Some group, I know, in the conversations that one group's going to meet on a Sunday afternoon. I've had someone else say they're interested in doing something in a midweek, which is still part of our satellite service. And so the time and the day is somewhat secondary. And we want to encourage our whole church family to gather together around the same message and around the same mission. Now, we've got some wonderful connect groups and Bible study groups already at work in the life of our church. We're not wanting to stop any of that. But what we understand, those groups are doing different, unique topics that fit the group's need at the time or the a subject they're interested in studying. But a satellite service in itself will be doing the same message and will be talking about the same mission. And so we need to really be mindful that as we build community, that those two things are important, the same message and the same mission. There's space for the groups to look different, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And so our church will meet. So does our church gather? Yeah, we gather. Instead of gathering at home by ourselves, we're gathering with other people in other locations. And then we regularly meet for a celebration service. Now, it's different to what we're doing right now. Right now, you're watching, I'm watching church at home, or maybe you are, maybe you're not, I don't know. But typically we're doing it with our family at home, or a couple of others maybe. And so what I really felt God say to me, doing church alone is not doing church. You're actually missing God's intention, which is people. God is wanting his people to connect with one another. And so we understand coming out of, as we start to launch our satellites, that not everyone may sign up to it, and that's okay. We've got to be really careful that as we move forward, we do not want to create an us and them mentality. We don't want people saying, well, you're part of this. And no, we don't want that at all. We need to just start where we're at. And we at a bare minimum, if people don't want to sign up to a satellite service or be part of that formal thing, I'd say, hey, that's cool. But would you invite someone to your place and just do church with them? Don't do it alone. We've in the last 3 weeks, we've started to invite different people at different times to do church with us. It's been great. Doing it at home was good with our kids, and you know, that's fun. We'll do that. But having other people, we can talk to other people, we can pray for other people, we can encourage other people, we may have a word for someone, or I think it's a great opportunity for us to be connecting with others. And so, so questions time. So I've got a bunch of questions I've written down there for you. You might have more questions that we want to talk about. So basically, when will our satellite services start? Our goal to start this is the 18th of October. That's our goal. It's still 3-4 weeks away. We still need to have some conversations and put things in place. But that's our launch date. What will it look like? Well, we felt the early church gave us some good principles or good values to make sure our satellite services look similar in some ways. We want our satellite service to have a worship portion. Now, what that looks like can be, at this stage, we can't sing. And so now Joe and our team are working at, because there's plenty of ways to worship without singing. Do you know that? Joe and the team are going to be talking about and providing content that can help you focus on God that doesn't require singing. So worship needs to be a component. Now, worship could be reflecting on a psalm. It could be just going for a walk in before your group starts and just enjoying God's creation. There's a whole range of ways that we can worship, but it needs to be part of what we do. Teaching, there will be a 20 to 25 minute teaching segment. I will be trying to craft or change the way that I present, and it'll come out with some discussion questions intentionally geared for your group to talk, maybe three or four questions for you to have a discussion, what's God saying, and then to pray into that. And so across all our satellite services, we're all listening to the same message, and we're all having the same dialogue around what we feel God is asking us to press into. Fellowship is part of our satellite service. That's one of the goals, connecting with one another, praying for one another, mission. I really think it's important to understand that as you look at the early church, as they were the church from house to house and the temple, God grew them, and they were open to people being saved. The church grew massively in numbers. And we want those things to be embedded in each satellite service. It doesn't mean you've got to tick done the box of worship. You may find one week you might focus more on one, and it really the flexibility comes to you, your group, and your leader, how you want to craft that. A service can go for an hour. You could quite easily do your satellite service for an hour. We want to make sure if you do run a group that, and in this gathering, there's some people who are willing to host, some people that are willing to lead, some people that can do both. I'll address those in a minute. But it's really important that practically have a clear start time and a clear end time. You say, okay, our group goes from 9:30 till 10:30, 9:30 to 11. That way it's not awkward when you ask people to leave. Everyone just says, okay, great, see you later. There's plenty of space and flexibility. We really felt as an eldership, we don't want to be legislating how you do your group. We do want to make sure that the message and the mission is clear and presented, but the rest really, if you're hosting or leading a group, you have the opportunity to shape this into something I think can be really unique and beautiful for your group. How often do I need to open my house for a satellite? And this is a really good question because you may have responsibilities in sporting or elderly parents or kids that are a whole range of variables or new grandbaby. At the most we'll ever ask of you, and this is purely up to the host, is 3 times a month. Because once a month we will have a celebration service. Libby's question was if you've got a anniversary coming up. The reality is if you're hosting, we don't want this to be a burden. You know, if you're going to be doing church anyway, let's just do it together. That's what we're trying to do. And so we want to explore the topics of co-hosting. You know, so you might find someone in your group that as your group forms, you know, you can say, look, next week we're going to be away. Well, I can take that group. Yeah. You know, so the beauty of small satellite services is that your group can be mobile at any moment. So if something comes up, you can relocate it to someone else's place. You could say, you know what, your group could potentially say, this coming weekend, we are going to go camping up at Meyer Lakes. Sound good, Adam? And so your group can say, hey, why don't we get together? We'll go away. We'll leave Thursday night. We'll come back Sunday lunchtime, and we'll just do church together Sunday night. You've got flexibility in your group, which I think is fantastic, because that adds to the community building space. So you can include people. You can adjust things. It doesn't have to land on a Sunday. But I just think that the idea of staying on a Sunday is helpful for a couple of reasons. One is, because once a month we are going to meet on a Sunday, and just to develop some unhealthy habits, I think, over COVID, and I think we need to, it's a good principle to put time aside, regular time aside for God. And so we'd encourage that to happen, but I tell you what, if that can't happen, there's flexibility. It really is flexible. You might say, you know, Mark, I can open my house once a month. I'd try to match you up with someone else who can open the house twice a month. I think we can be really flexible. I've talked about co-hosting. You can shift your date, shift your time. You can use the church building if everything else fails. Or there's plenty of ways. What technological resources do I need? You need decent internet. Okay, so I think all of you would have decent internet. And a smart TV. Smart-ish TV. Whoever is hosting need to be able to, and we can assist. We've got people who can assist. We're going to be helping Jenny John sort her technology out. So if you need help, we can help. You'll find it's really quite easy to do. If you're hosting, what other resources? You need space. You do need it in a reasonable space. Supper or snacks, you know, but if you're a host, you can do a roster for everyone else to bring a packet of Tim Tams. It doesn't have to cost you. I just think it's a great opportunity to get others to bring stuff. And leaders, you will be given resources. Leaders will be given some training. For those coming out of this meeting, there will be another meeting just for leaders. It's a different discussion we need to have. But really, if you're looking at hosting, all we're really looking for is just a home. However many weeks you're open to open your home, and it's not much required. And I think it can work really well. I'd had one question came through on our survey that we did regarding COVID health guidelines for our meeting. And so meeting at someone's home, it is not a place of worship. And so you are not bound by the strict regulations that a place of worship is bound by, but you are driven by public health orders to encourage social distancing where possible, if not possible, to provide some masks. If you can't guarantee social distancing, there's another option. But also just basic hygiene, tongs, just be mindful. We're not trying to cram everyone together in one room. We just need to be wise. That's why we're sort of putting the numbers between 8 and 10. Now, Rob and Den might be able to take 12 people. AJ might be able to have 18, you know. Joe might be able to have 6. And so whatever it is, we just need you to be mindful on what space you can safely and comfortably have people in your group. The question of how long will we have satellite services for? This is that's the answer, Pat. It's a difficult question because part of this, there's two parts to this. One is part of this is our response to what our government is defining what we can and we can't do. That's part of it. But I think a greater response, so we've got to respond to that, but a greater response to what the government's asking of us is what we feel the Lord is asking of us. And at a family meeting, I was asked a question, you know, if COVID was gone, would we go straight back to our Sunday service? And all elders, with the exception of one, we all said, no, maybe. But the reality is we've just got to get a sense of what God's saying. And I really believe that God is giving us a fantastic opportunity. And the more I talk about our satellite services, the more I'm praying and considering what content we're teaching about being a follower of Jesus and learning his ways and his walk. And I'm so excited about what we can accomplish in our satellite services. So, you know what? If COVID all of a sudden miraculously disappeared tonight, and a vaccine turned up on everyone's doorstep and everyone was willing to have one, if that happened, would we go back on Sunday? Well, the answer is, well, we could. I'm not convinced we should. I really think this is a God-given moment for us to rediscover something for our church that is going to sustain us, not just now, but in the generations to come. I really believe that. And so because of that, I'm not going to leap back into the old way of doing things just for the sake of it. But I'm sick of looking at a camera every week, you know. But I understand that this is the season we're at. I want to do all I can to make sure that we are listening to the Holy Spirit's leading and stepping into that space. And I'm really quite excited about what we can accomplish through this. So that's our COVID health guidelines. We do need to remain sensitive to the public health orders. I loved interviewing Steve the other day for church, with the exception of the audio issues that we had. I love the concept of big fires and little fires. You know, there's two levels though. One is everyone has a part to play, but also it also identifies the importance of gathering as one, but also the power and the opportunity that small groups have in Belmont or in Cardiff or in New Lambton or Cahiba, or wherever you live. I think the opportunity for us to be the church in different spaces is sensational. And we're not asking for a lot of time from people. We say, would you give an hour and a half? You used to do that anyway to come to church. And I think, I really believe we can see something significant happen in this space. And so how long will the satellite services go for? Well, I think we'll know when God says it's time, and we'll respond in obedience to the Lord. All right, roles of hosts and leaders. As I said before, a host simply opening your house. And so if you're here tonight and you've been asked, or you've been thinking about, or you're watching, a bunch of you watching on the screen, if you're thinking about hosting, all that's required is that you just put your hand up and say, I can open my house. I can put the kettle on, I can pick up the Lego off the floor so no one injures themselves. And it's as simple as that. Also, we've talked about co-hosting, so we don't want everything to be dependent on one person in one home. And so as the groups form, we will try to help make sure there's a co-host in place, or there's enough people there that can share the load of hosting. So that's for hosts. If you're interested in leading, which I know many of you can do and are able to, you will have a separate meeting to discuss that. Effectively, if you're a leader, you need to make sure things run on time. That's important. You need to make sure that we attend to whatever core components, whether messages played, discussions had, facilitating group discussion, giving feedback to the church leadership or to HES or the office or whatever feedback we need. And also we want to look at establishing a co-leader. And so we want to raise other leaders up. Great opportunity to give people opportunity to lead studies, lead in our house for church. Our kids have had turns. I think, AJ, you do this too. Your kids have turns of leading discussion. So Joel led the discussion for our church on Sunday. It was great. So opportunity to be raising and developing. It doesn't all have to hang on the leader. A good leader will actually be able to just get other people to lead and show them and lead with them. So just so you know, the process out of this night, I'm looking, and out of the guys watching on screen, which will be Friday, I need people to firm up and say, I'm willing to host and or lead or host or whatever. I need that firmed up. We've got an elders meeting next week, which we're going to be talking about what we do for those. Just trying to look across the breadth of our church to see what else we need to put in place. And so Wednesday is my deadline that we need a response, a firm response. And I know many of you have already given me that, which is great. But for those that are considering it, thinking about it, please pray about it and let me know by Wednesday. A question, how do we make groups? How do we form groups? And this is probably the most common question, and it is the most, it probably creates the most anxiety, to be honest, because I was saying to our team, it's actually a social engineering challenge to try to get people into some form of group. Some groups may organically form. Fiona and Barb, there's a group that's organically gathered out of relationship, out of action, out of energy. It's naturally formed, and I think that's great. On the whole, most groups aren't going to do that. Some will. That already maybe some discussions you've had with others, and that's fine. We actually want to encourage organic connection. What I'm not going to do, and Libby said, are you going to be the school teacher and say, you need to go there, there, and there? No, we're not going to do that. We've got to be really flexible with what's happening within the life of a group. Most group, including my group, will require some assistance. will require the ability for us and to look at the church, and for, it's easy for me because I'm part of the conversation, but let's say Den and Rob, that that you might say, oh, look, I'm thinking of inviting so-and-so. What else, who else do you think? And as an eldership and as a staff team, well, Hez and the eldership are looking at across the breadth of the church, and we've gone through an exercise already that's given us some idea with people who've put their hand up a little bit, or we think, well, you know what, these people could work well together, from our opinion. And so we could say to Den and Rob, okay, here's three or four people you could contact and invite them. And so that if you need assistance in forming a group, we are here to help. And so as I said, we need to finalise our groups by next Wednesday. Then our church and eldership team can actually start to construct the groups. We can meet after next Wednesday. We want to have conversations with everyone who's willing to lead a group. Leading, not hosting. There's one lead a group, because we want to talk to you about who you can invite. And what's really important to us, if you're inviting people, please let us know, because the last thing we want is for one, we'll talk about awkward conversations in a minute, but the last thing I want is one person to be invited to 10 groups and someone to get no invitation, you know? And so, and that's, it's quite likely and quite possible. And so if you're inviting someone, please let us know. And the reason for that is that we can make sure everyone has an invitation, that everyone feels that they are wanted somewhere. And so it's not a matter of me then contacting someone so and say, well, you know, I want you to go to AJ's group. The goal would be for me to say to AJ, here's three or four people that could work well in your group. You might have other people on your heart, that's fine, but it'd be great if you could contact these people. And then we as a church will work through with you. So we've got to leave some space in our group. So don't fill your group all the way up. Leave some space, because I reckon there's going to be people who'd want to join. It could be, I'll skip a few questions. It could be an unchurched person. Could be your neighbour. Could be what's probably a de-churched person. Someone who is just at this stage, COVID's probably been a great catalyst, but they just stopped going. Or they've stopped going a while ago. And I know, Dan and Rob, you've got people that are de-churched in your world already. You know, so we need to leave some space, because we need to be missional. We need to be missional. These groups aren't click groups. We're not trying to create, it's great you can get together with friends, but we want to be encouraging you, look out for those who may be different demographic to you, a different, maybe a different need, a different age group. So what a great opportunity to actually meet new people in our church family. Yep, that's very good. How do I handle awkward conversations? Oh, who can I invite? Ask anyone. First, I encourage you to pray about it. It's a good idea. Let's pray about it. Let's just ask the Lord, who can I invite? Doesn't mean that they're going to come, but you can. The Lord might say, just contact these people, and you could pray about it. You might invite someone, but you know, but they may say no to you. But then they may say, two or three people might invite them, and then they might say yes. Just pray. The Lord will put this together. I'm excited about that, because it's not about me or our team or our eldership. We're really looking to the Lord to put this together. And I think you will. We'll need to mumble and bumble our way through, but I think God will do it and we'll get there. How do I handle awkward conversations? Number one, don't take it personally. When we start up, I'm expecting a little bit of movement. I am expecting the language that Ali and I use, we want people to find their tribe. I want our church to find their people. Now, they don't have to all look the same or sound the same. And I think there's value in general as a whole. But I think you're going to connect with some people. It's not that you don't connect with others. I think it's important. And Barb said it before. It's the opportunity. If you're not getting on with someone, there's this opportunity to grow. Before you leave to go to another group, Pat, give our group another go. Okay? I just think the question, can I go to another group? Well, yeah, you can. Should you? Maybe. Other times you may just need to actually work through and build something deeper that the Lord has in that space. So especially at the beginning, it's okay. In fact, at any time, it's okay if anyone in your group feels that they just don't feel they fit, they're welcome. They are welcome to go. In fact, some people you'd probably say, hey, you're welcome to go. And they might even be thinking of it, but you know, so because someone might go to someone's group and say, that was just not what I was expecting. As a leader, you can, hey, that's cool. We've got a bunch of other groups. And so you can refer that back to our office. We'll say, why don't you try this group? But I really believe there's a place for everyone. And we need to have that mindset. We've got to be okay with people saying, you know what, that bed was too hard, or that bed's too soft. The content really is geared toward church people, that we are growing. My desire, eldership desire, is to grow disciples. And so it will be geared to that. But that said, I think anyone can fit. Space is probably going to be an issue in your group. You might just find you might need to go into two groups or something, but anyone is welcome. I think the greatest, you'll probably find a lot of de-church people, friends you might have, they may fit in well. And that's okay. Either way. What support will be given to group leaders? Group leaders, we do want to be connecting with you. We do want to regularly be connecting. We want to know who's in your groups. We want to know who's connecting, who's disconnecting, any struggles you have, any challenges you have, feedback on the material, those questions were too tricky or difficult. We want to create content and a message that is really going to lift people up, encourage people, inspire them, and help them grow into the image of Jesus. Help them to be like him and to behave like him and to do what he did. So what about kids and youth? Again, the first point in my notes here is if you've got a family, try to find another family. It doesn't have to match all up, but just if you've got a family, my situation, I've got four kids age 19 to 8, and I think I'm not going to find a perfect match for my family, but I could find another family who've got some kids, and there's some level of connectivity. And so, but I've also written, don't become exclusive. Don't just become a family group. Don't just become a married group or a singles group or an old group or a young group. I think we, again, numbers, we've only got up to 20 people maximum, so it's hard to blend too much of this. But if, particularly if you've got a family and you're looking at hosting, I would strongly recommend, or looking at leading with your family to invite another family with you. I think that'll help immensely. Kids, look, on the whole, we've got some ideas that we're brewing. With what we can do with kids. Kids typically just tag along with mum and dad. And if mum and dad and their family are positive and encouraging, and there may be someone else their similar age or somewhere near their age, I think kids will be fine. Youth are a little bit more different, but that said, in our world, our youth are fully engaged in our service and they're watching and they're commenting and they're leading. So it's possible to be inclusive, whether you're an older person or a young person. Good leadership should be able to draw the best out of that. And I think that can work. But there is other ideas bouncing around regarding kids and youth. I know I had one person who I haven't had a conversation with, but is keen on maybe doing something at church here, having a group at church with some opportunity for some little toddlers to get together. So that's an idea. That's an option we can talk about. But it requires a conversation because it may or may not work well. And so that's something that could work. Plenty of things that can worth the conversation about. Celebration service. So when will these begin? There's the question that people are asking. Look, our priority is getting our satellite groups and services set up. So all our attention at the moment is trying to build that. I'd like to think November, December, we'll be able to do something, gather together as much as we're able to. I had a pastor's coffee this afternoon, and there's a challenge in gathering as a large group. There's a public perception issue gathering as a large group. Numbers of churches in New South Wales that have been dobbed on by their neighbours because they might be fitting the criteria. Whoever's got a bee in their bonnet. Hope Church at Gateshead, they've got a neighbour that's very antagonistic, and they've got police popping into their services all the time. And so as a church, we've just got to be mindful that we're in the public spotlight. And so We don't need to be driven by the opinions of people, but just understand we need to be adhering to what we can from a social distancing and what the rules are required. But whatever we can do, we want to do. And I'd like to think November and December would be great opportunities for that somewhere there. Whatever capacity we can gather, we want to gather. What will that look like? Well, they look similar to what our celebration services were like. We just want to get together and just celebrate God and celebrate the family he's given us. So we've got plenty of time to talk about what they're going to look like. And the goal is for them to occur every month. That's our intention. We've just got to massage that and see, making sure that's still the heart of God for us, and trust him in that. Now, question time. Free floor for questioning. I need a response from the guys on the screen and the guys here, I need a response from you. Either way, I don't mind. I've got no expectations on anyone. But if you're thinking, you know what, or even if you're thinking, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to give it a go, that'd be great. That'd be a great start for us. I just think we need to clutch start. You know, we need to get some momentum and actually get something happening. Now, you might find I'll start something up, but in a month's time, you might, you know, this isn't working for my family or my situation. Well, that's fine. We can adjust things once we start moving. But we need to get this the vehicle moving. And so if you're able to host or to lead, I need an email from you before Wednesday. The earlier, the better. Even it's just like, I'm willing to give it a go, see what happens. If you are ready to respond now, just come and let me know. If you're ready to respond, if you're ready to respond now, go and see Hez, and she will write your name down, and just say whatever you need to say to Hez. That way, you're not talking to me. Talk to Hez. As an eldership, we are convinced that this is what our church needs. Not just for now. This is COVID's just the opportunity that's presented itself, and I'm thanking God for the opportunity because it's giving us the ability to do something we would have never have done. As AJ said, the church has always been trying to build small groups and have had limited success in that. But now we've got an opportunity where we can do this well and we can build people and we can build something that's much more sustainable beyond any of us. And so we need to cover it in prayer and pray that, I know the enemy will start to whisper and say things and we can easily listen to them. It's for a lot of people, they've been really comfortable doing what they want on Sundays. You know, and so there is going to, I've had conversation with people in this room who have struggled to get back and do church, and it's a discipline. And it's not because it's church, it's the enemy, if he can keep us separated, you know, if we lose the power. I've got an article, Andrew, can you, actually on the way out, can you grab an article from the desk, which is the base article that our elders used at our retreat regarding the power and the potential of the early church. And so, it's one of the most inspiring articles I've read. It just shows us what the church can do and who the church can be, regardless of COVID or regardless of meeting in a building or in a home. I think it's really exciting. And so I'd love you to take that with you. Have a read of that article, particularly if you're not sure about where we're going. Have a read of that article and start to believe, God, can this type of church operate in 100 Christian Church? And I believe, yes, as an eldership, we are looking to see that happen. And so it's really... It's a great article. Yep. So anyone watching on the screen, if you're ready to host, if you've got some space, please email our office, email helen@hcc.org.au, and she will make sure that we can capture, if you haven't communicated already to us, that how many people can fit into your group, where you're at. We really need to know where you're at, and we'd love you to be prayerful, but also like Nehemiah, he prayed, but then he did something about it. It's not good enough for us to say, well, we'll just pray about it. I think this season, and I've written on our last, on the back page here, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So they all got to work. At last, the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. The Message translation says, the whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart for the work. I'm believing the Holy Spirit's the only one that can transform our heart. And if you have a heart for God, I believe you'll pick up a heart for His work. And I would really encourage you and thank you for considering and willing to be part of a conversation that can really, I think, set our church up for a wonderful future. Okay, thank you. Thank you on the screen. We're going to pray, and I'm going to get Dennis to pray for us, please, Dennis.